welcome. You're watching Notepad. This is part of the brought to you by Bursa program. We continue our outlook on the sectorial outlook, I suppose, on the construction sector. So our focus for this day will be on this because there are some interesting companies involved in this sector, including that of Gamuda, Kerjaya Prospect, Ecovest, many others. And because of the fact that some research houses have anticipated that there will be a muted period until the end of the year, when it comes to new developments of mega contracts, these analysts argue that most of the focus will be on short-term shift looking towards the budget 2021. Another view that analysts have is that the construction sector will only see some growth for approved projects with ready financing to go ahead, such as the ECRL, RTS, and maybe even the Pan Borneo Highway Sabah. So to help us understand and decipher a little bit more about this sector, joining me on the line right now is Lung Chee Wei, the Senior Associate Director of Equity Research at Affin Hwang Capital. Chee Wei, thanks again for taking the time to speak with us. Let's understand a little bit better about the sector. What would be some of your broad ideas or broad view when it comes to construction?
Thank you, Ibrahim Sani. Okay, in terms of the sector, I'm cautious on the prospects. I have a neutral call on the sector. There has been a slow rollout in terms of government projects, and the property sector remains weak, which also drives the private sector construction works. In terms of there are risks due to the political uncertainties, as well as expectations of the budget. Also, in this kind of environment, then I would actually prefer the contractors that can secure overseas and private sector jobs to supplement the government projects that they have. So these are the companies that will be more resilient in the current environment.
So we're looking at companies that have not just domestic pipeline, but also international as well to shore up. When investors understand and look into this sector, should investors be ready for some sort of a resurgence in this sector on the back of expectations from Budget 2021? What do you think?
So in terms of the Budget 2021, that's always event that most contractors will look out for in terms of expectations of new projects to be awarded. So I expect more positive news flow for the construction sector in the budget 2021 because the government is expected to prime the economy with infrastructure spending next year. Because this sector would have a high multiplier effect in terms of driving economic growth in 2021. If there is an increase in infrastructure spending, I expect the government allocation for development expenditure to increase to 60 billion ringgit in 2021 versus 56 billion ringgit in 2020. I expect there to be more spending on upgrading hospitals, public utilities, as well as rural roads, and this would be an important sector to look at. Some allocation for the rapid transit system as well as the Iskandar BRT are some of the things I'm looking out for. Also, there are mega infrastructure projects to be included in the budget potentially. And going on to next year, this would be also the announcement of the 12th Malaysia Plan, and the budget 2021 would be the first year that this plan would take off. So in that, I would expect the Klang MRT Line 3, which is the Circle Line, as well as the Kuala Lumpur and Singapore high-speed rail project to be included in this announcement.
Yeah, it's nice that you touched on these two mega projects. Let's decipher one by one, yeah? The high-speed rail, we'll start off with that because it's about 110 billion ringgit. And the status right now is that the TAC and CAC is to conduct a review and it will be finalized towards Christmas this year. Some potential beneficiaries, some analysts arguing it could be Gamuda, Sun Reconstruction, IGM, largely because these are contractors with some rail expertise. Do you feel that these companies that we just mentioned would have a better option in terms of moving forward following the budget because the high-speed rail is a mega project that has to be done between these two countries?
Well, in terms of the finalization of the project, that will be positive for the sector in general because of the large size of, and value of this contract. In terms of the initial beneficiaries, I would expect the engineering consultants, for example, like HSS engineers, to benefit. In terms of the main contractors, I think the likes of your Gamuda that has implemented a lot of large infrastructure railway-based projects would actually potentially benefit. And also the likes of your YTL Corporation, which has been working on projects like the Germas-Johor Bahru double tracking, they would actually be in a competitive position to bid for some of this works as well. Then, following through that, then there's the potential for subcontractors to benefit in terms of some sections of the work could be undertaken by the likes of your IGM Corporation and Sunway Construction that has been a good subcontractors for a lot of these main contractors.
The MRT Line 3 that you were mentioning, the contractors, including MMC Gamuda JV, have submitted revised proposals, i.e. lowering the cost for MRT 3. What do you think is going to be the reception from the stakeholders coming in from MRT 3? Are they going to be more receptive towards this kind of retendering?
I believe it's a good time to retender this project because the costing would have changed. But I think the idea behind it is also to reduce the cost of work by maybe reducing the scope of the specifications of this project. And initially, it could be reduced as much as 21 to 22 billion ringgit compared to the previous cost of 45 billion ringgit. And generally, with a reduction in cost, then it will be easier for the government to finance the project and also keep it more viable. But I do expect a more staggered implementation. Instead of 5 years, it could be extended to, say, 8 years, just to ensure that the financing is sufficient from the government.
Chiwe, before we go to a break, I want to lock down on ECRL, largely because this project does involve a lot of companies now when it comes to the potential beneficiaries coming in from this project. We're talking about 44 billion ringgit worth. Some vertical package companies include Gabungan AQRS and MRCB. The horizontal package includes Econ Pile, Sunway Construction. Do you think that the ECRL is going to be given a serious thought in the budget 2021, and perhaps even these companies, they're going to react positively towards some of the announcement that might be announced in the upcoming budget?
Okay, in terms of the ECRL, it's mainly driven by the Chinese-based contractor, China Communications and Construction Company. So in terms of the award of contracts, it's driven by them. There will be some allocation in the budget for this project, but the project is also financed partly by the Exim Bank of China. So in terms of the potential beneficiaries, yes, those are the names that were mentioned in terms of potential beneficiaries because of the contract awards needed for the Malaysian contractors, and that is expected to accelerate this next year because this year it was just initial works being awarded in terms of like simple works like earthworks and the likes of your Econ Pile and the Advanced Con will actually benefit from this project together with Sunway Construction.
You know, despite the fact that it's pretty quiet, people argue that construction sector is going to go through, it seems like there's going to be a lot of news coming in from this sector, don't you think?
Yeah, I do expect the government to actually have more projects in hand to implement to drive the economy next year. But the key concern is the political uncertainties, and I think the pandemic also impacts it in terms of potential delays in project awards. And that is the key concern now.
All right, Chiwe, we'll take a short break before we continue our conversation on the construction sector. Don't go anywhere. thanks for staying on with us. I have with me Lung Chee Wei, Senior Associate Director of Equity Research at Affin Hwang Capital, here talking about the construction sector. And of course, a lot of things can be discussed when it comes to this sector. For instance, the political uncertainty or the political certainty moving forward, Budget 2021 as well. But the more pertinent matter, of course, is COVID-19. So Chee Wei joins us. Before we went to the break just now, you were mentioning that COVID-19 is going to weigh heavily on this sector. Should investors expect some sort of slowdown, not just because of the financing aspect of it, because earlier on when we opened the show, we talked about how only projects with financing can go ahead, but, you know, other stuff like tightening of workers' movements, importing workers, those kind of stuff. What do you think on this matter?
Okay, generally, the work progress has resumed to 80% to 90% of efficiency at most construction sites. The key delay was mainly during the movement control order period, where in the first half you have seen a slow progress then, but since the construction sites have reopened, works have generally continued despite the CMCO being implemented now. As I understand it, works are progressing as normal because most of the major contractors have tested their foreign workers and they are able to resume work. There could be some slowdown, mainly because if the MCO is implemented again, that would be the key risk, but I don't expect that. In terms of the construction work sites, they have resumed work. There has been slow progress on some projects, but I think the contractors are catching up. In terms of, like, there are some risks in terms of infections in worker dormitories that will affect individual projects, but so far we have none. And that's very positive. And in terms of, like, the shortage of construction work, that could happen in the long run. But as I understand it now, there is enough workers for construction activities to progress as normal because there has been some slowdown in terms of the private sector works. So some of these workers can be redeployed for ongoing works that some of these contractors need.
Yeah, that seems interesting because it seems like we are looking at sufficient workers to carry out the projects, but whether or not the projects will be granted is another thing, which brings back to that financing aspect. Do you think that financial institutions in the country, perhaps even outside of the country, would be a little bit more, I guess, supportive of the construction sector, and they would probably want to lend more towards the counters that we mentioned just now, or even these kind of companies would even seek more funding from the capital markets? What would be some of the ideas when it comes to sourcing for funds for these kind of construction sites, construction projects?
Okay, generally, the government financing is the key financing for a lot of these infrastructure projects. So it really depends on how willing the government is in terms of spending, and I expect that to pick up next year. Because this year they were generally more focused on helping the people, helping the SMEs to weather this COVID-19 pandemic effects. And next year, I think with the more allocation, there's the political view to actually raise more debt financing in terms of Malaysian government securities to finance some of these infrastructure projects. Then a lot of these projects can actually take off next year, and that would drive the economic growth. In terms of the private side, it really depends on the banks in terms of lending for new property projects. But at this time, given the prolonged downturn in the property sector, I think there will be less launches of new projects. And at this point, I think it will more be driven by the government in terms of spending to drive the construction works for a lot of these contractors.
So a lot more government funding, perhaps, you know, we might even see some debt capital funding as well. You know, former Sukuk guy, I'd love that to happen, but right now we've seen a little bit of slowdown in terms of that area. Let's shift our focus from Peninsula Malaysia towards Sabah and Sarawak, and especially Sarawak, to be frank, because the chief minister there has to hold has to dissolve the state assembly and has to hold an election. But there are some indications that elections may be called later than September 21 next year because of COVID-19. But that doesn't remove the fact that a lot of construction projects have to happen in the country with or without the election. Do you believe that Sarawak projects might be given some sort of attention towards 2021 and moving forward because of, number one, the need for them to have more construction projects, but number two, it's aided by this political, I guess, argument that needs to support the kind of infrastructure growth that the people want over there? What do you think of the Sarawak situation right now?
I see two key reasons why the state government will actually drive more infrastructure development there. Firstly, there's the upcoming Sarawak state election, and secondly, the state government has quite substantial surplus of over 31 billion ringgit, as indicated by the Chief Minister previously, and that would be a catalyst for, in terms of a contract award there ahead of the election. Some of the projects that are currently being implemented include the coastal highway project, the second trunk road, as well as the water grid to upgrade water supply in rural areas, as well as major cities like Kota Kinabalu. So we would expect more award of contracts going on to next year, just before the election.
Some companies that we can think about when it comes to these kind of projects in Sarawak include Cahaya Mata Sarawak, KKB Engineering, AWC even, and of course Tech Chem Group. What is your view on these kind of companies? Do you think that you have a little bit of optimism moving forward for this kind of groups of companies?
At this point, I don't cover any Sarawak-based construction companies, but generally, I do believe the likes of your KKB Engineering, Cahaya Mata, Sarawak would be a key beneficiary because of their involvement. For example, like Cahaya Mata, Sarawak is involved in cement production to quarry stones and also has a construction arm as well. In terms of KKB Engineering, they are very strong in terms of water pipes and installations, and that is also a key beneficiary in terms of contract awards going forward.
From Sarawak,
so there will be some Sarawak place that will benefit, but
yeah, okay.
At the same time, my key concern is, after this, then generally there's a lull period for these companies after the contract award.
After
the election.
Yeah. Let's shift our focus towards Sabah now. Because early on we talked about Pan Borneo Highway, Sabah, it's going to cost about 4 billion ringgit. And because there's a new government right now in place, and the new government is very much in tandem, the new state government is very much in tandem with the federal government. Do you believe that there is a desire to pursue the completion of the Pan Borneo Highway in the near term?
I think for the Pan Borneo Highway, there is expectations that they will continue this project, but the federal government has mentioned that it will be a staggered implementation given the budget constraints. I do expect more packages for the Pan Borneo Highway for the Sabah stretch to be awarded next year, but in terms of the actual amount, it will really depend on how much allocation that the federal government is willing to put in for that project.
Okay, we'll take one more short break before we conclude our conversation on the construction sector. Don't go anywhere. Thanks for staying on with us. I have Lung Chee Wei of AFIN. Let's continue on this whole idea of understanding the construction sector per se, because a lot of investors don't normally put construction sector on their investment radar. They normally think about ETFs. They normally think about other, tech sector, for instance, or telco. What would be some of the stability that can come from the construction sector that might be a miss by investors right now?
Okay, in terms of the overall construction sector, yes, it's all economy, but at the end of the day, there are a lot of beneficiaries from this sector, although the contribution to GDP is small, but if you see the chain of beneficiaries also runs into the manufacturing sector as well. When a contract award is done to a contractor, he has to actually get supplies of building materials from cement to tiles for, say, a building, and that would generally benefit the manufacturers of building materials. And on top of that, you have for other subcontractors that benefit in terms of supply of labor, in terms of supply of materials and equipment. And that also drives a lot of the SMEs in terms of benefit. And that's why a lot of governments do look at infrastructure spending as a way to drive economic growth. When there has been a slowdown in terms of like the export sector, for example, and that is why I see a resurgence in terms of this sector going forward. But how fast it can be pushed through depends on the government budget and the political view.
All right. And of course, those two are the key risk when we talk about that, right? The political will and also the stability of the government. Because of that, the view that is normally seen in this sector is that there will be slower than expected project rollout, particularly for approved projects. This will result in the depletion of contractors' outstanding order book due to a shrinking pool of new contracts. Do you share this kind of view when it comes to this sector?
In terms of the government stability is important, but generally if you look at if we do see a potential for, say, an early general election, then ahead of that, usually there will be more government spending in infrastructure as there's a big multiplier effect in terms of driving economic growth. And that is why I do expect the infrastructure spending to continue going on to next year.
That's very interesting. I haven't seen it that way before, but yes, you're right. Let's conclude our conversation here with two other questions that I want to focus on. Number one, local companies that have projects overseas, for instance, Sunway and many others as well. They have projects in India, in Saudi, you name it. Do you think that these kind of companies, to marry with what you said earlier in the interview, because of the fact that they have overseas projects as well, they are a little bit more stable than their counterparts in the country that have only domestic projects?
Yes. As I mentioned earlier, that some of these contractors that have overseas projects would generally be more resilient in the current environment. Yes, I do like them. And the names that you mentioned, for example, like Sunway Construction, they have been very successful in terms of going back to India, securing the two new Indian highway projects on a hybrid annuity mode, and that is positive. And in terms of the likes of Gamuda, for example, they are also venturing out in terms of going to Australia and bidding for projects there. This is to supplement the local contracts that they have, and the slowdown here has affected them. But generally, I think diversification is positive, but ultimately, if there is a local project to be implemented, I think the contractors here prefer to undertake the projects here, given the stability in terms of progress, in terms of implementation. They are more experienced in this area.
Yeah, because I think finding partners to pull off those kind of projects is a bit tricky. For instance, the Gamuda project in Australia, you're talking about the M6 as well as the Sydney Metro. I think the challenge for them is trying to find local partners there to make it work. But because of this, a lot of analysts are expecting that the projects will be awarded nonetheless to Gamuda next year. Do you think that this kind of relationship that they have or need to build local partners, you know, in a country that they want to go to, is actually crucial for companies that want to think about venturing overseas?
Generally, it would be better if you can find a local partner. And Gamuda actually has been quite successful in terms of finding a local partner for the M6 project and another project they are bidding for as well. So I think in terms of having a local partner or a big multinational that has experience working in Australia is positive to ensure that the projects are implemented according to schedule and according to budget.
Thank you very much, Chi Wei. Any final thoughts before we end this interview?
Generally, I would like to say that I'm cautiously optimistic on the sector in terms of expecting the government to increase infrastructure spending next year. But what's holding me back is the political uncertainties, and that's why I have a neutral weighting on the sector. My top buy is Gamuda, Fenway Construction. I also like the small player in industrial property development as well as construction, which is AIB Elite Consortium. They have been very successful in terms of getting MNCs to set up their plants in their iPark development. I also like Taliworks, which is a water concessionary player that could actually benefit if the government decides to spend more in terms of upgrading water infrastructure in Malaysia. And also the concessions in their highway and water supply projects actually generate recurrent cash flows for them to maintain a high dividend yield of close to 8%, which is very attractive as well.
Fantastic. That was Loong Chee Wei, the Senior Associate Director of Equity Research at Affin Hwang Capital. If you've missed any part of this interview, just head on to Astro Awani. Look for Notepad over there. You can also find these kind of interviews on Bursa Malaysia. Just look for Bursa Malaysia Marketplace as well as all the other resources related to that. Remember, future performance is not reflected upon past performance, or past performance does not predict future performance. Get your hands on all the resources that you can get and understand the business better before you invest. Stock market isn't a punting place, it's actually an investment place. So make sure that you understand all the risks as well as the opportunities involved before making that kind of investment. Until then, invest wisely. Thanks very much for watching and goodbye.